sitting with a friend of mine, Dave Geyer, and we decided we would record this conversation. And what we're going to talk about is the mysterious, alarming, amazing, fascinating ways that God talks to us throughout our life. When we're aware of it or not, when we're open to it or not, he just speaks. And it's usually in ways, not that we have been taught he speaks sometimes, depending on what kind of tradition we come from as a Christian. But he speaks all the time, and it's always an amazing story. It really is such a substantial part of our journey with God into our calling. Dave, why don't you just start off with a story?
I think it was 1999 or 98, my wife and I, Becky and I, were going to be moving to back to the Cleveland area, and this fellowship that we were going to be hanging out with, and at this point we didn't know for sure if we would end up partnering with them or not, they invited us up for a time one evening. There was a man there that ended up praying over Becky and I and really just speaking some words over us. And it kind of blew me away that it was not the tradition I grew up with at all. In fact, I kind of grew up in a tradition that would discount that at best. But it was amazing how he spoke so clearly into our lives. I'd never seen the man before. And so anyways, he spoke some very encouraging things. And in the middle of this, it was like 10 or 15 minutes, he said something about, David, I can almost see you in a room and there's papers on the floor and there's all these notes around you. And Becky starts laughing because she knows how I work in my office. And he goes, there's this kind of craziness around you, but you're preparing to speak. And I see you speaking to the company of men and telling them what a real man is. That was just so not what I would ever expected.
Not how you saw yourself.
Not
how you saw your future.
Right, and really avoided things like men's gatherings. I mean, all of that, I just had a disdain for it. You know, I've been out to the mountains for some of the conferences over the years, and the first time I came out here, one of the most clearest times I've ever heard God speak to me, and again, this was huge for me. I'm like, Father, you know, what, you know? In fact, I remember there's like two sides of me. I'm heading up, find a little piece of a hill to be by myself. The cynic's like, oh, please, this is contrived. This is, you know, everybody run off and hear from God and all of that. And there was this other place. It almost felt younger or more desperate. I mean, it was sincere. It was, if God would speak to me, I would be undone. For a number of minutes, I'm, you know, almost make it up. You know, I used to do the personality tests in all my church years. I always got Peter because Peter was the big mouth who couldn't stop talking and all that. And I'm like, Peter? And I'm like, this is silly. And as soon as I said, this is silly, I am done with this, I closed whatever I was looking at, and I heard, David, you are Crispian. And it was just so clear. And the odd thing is I don't have hearing, literally, in one ear on my left side. This actually came into my good ear. It came from my right side. Crispian, C-R-I-S-P-I-N. Crispian, what's that? It was like, sounds like a breakfast cereal or something, you know? So, you know, you're kind of going through the files of your brain going, I can't connect to anything. And then I thought, oh, Prince Crispian of the Chronicles of Narnia. And I had read those when I was younger. And I saw a guy on the way back up the camp road, an old dirt road, and I stopped and I asked him about the Chronicles of Narnia. And I'm thinking, oh, don't they go on a voyage for lost men or something? I can't remember. And he said, oh, that's Caspian. And I remember something just kind of sunk inside. I'm like, okay, all right. Yeah. Made that one up. Took off, went back. Somebody asked me when I came back to camp, so how'd it go out there? And I told him. I said, well, can you get a grammatical mistake when you hear from God? And he goes, well, I don't know what you mean. And I said, well, I think maybe it's Caspian, but I thought I heard Crispian, but I don't know what a Crispian is. And he said, huh, I think that has something to do with Henry V. You might want to read that sometime. That was huge for me. Days later, I was home. I went to that Shakespearean play. I ended up getting in film. And just the spirit, the joy of that scene, something just opened up inside. That this man would say to others, will you join with me? Because it would even be an honor just to battle with you. Therein lies the honor. You know, and there'll be a day where we will... You know, we will roll up our sleeves and say, hey, see this scar? I got that on the day I fought on Christmas Day. So this idea that, David, you will be able to walk with other men and be in the company of some very good men and live life and fight for life was huge for me.
So what's amazing is you ask God, right, who am I? Do you have a name to describe who I am? He gives you Crispian. You have no idea who Crispian is. So you couldn't have contrived it because you weren't familiar with the name.
No.
You even try to change it to a name that seems more familiar, like Caspian. No, it's not that.
Yeah.
Then you find out by watching this what an amazing man this was, the effect he had on other men.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It totally took you by surprise.
So then this is like a couple of years later, I'm telling Becky one morning, I don't know what God is doing, but why does he keep speaking to me? And why does it have to do with men? And why am I enjoying it? That's the funny part. And she said, do you remember the guy that spoke over us? This is, at that point, it had been 4 or 5 years. She goes, he said that. I said, no, he didn't. And she goes, yes, he did. I said, listen, I know what he said was cool, but he never even mentioned the word men. And she just went, well, okay, you win the argument, but if you want to listen to it sometime, go right ahead. And I didn't, you know, being me. And about 3 weeks later, one of those, hey, God, I've only got a few minutes. It was real early in the morning. I said, Father, what would you like me to do? I just want to connect with you. And I heard him just simply go find the tape. And everybody was sleeping, and Becky had just gotten up, and I creeped in there. I said, Becky, where's that tape? She goes, I know exactly where it is. And a little twinkle in her eye. She just handed it to me, and I listened to it, and it blew me away. I had literally filtered that out because of where I had been for so many years.
Right.
So
let me just say, that is just so common. I mean, it's my experience, and I hear this again and again, where God will speak something, and it's that funny combination of, it's so much what I want to hear, and I'm so afraid of it. Because if that doesn't happen, that means more to me than anything. That will be so painful.
Mm.
If that was just a misspoken word or a made-up word, you know.
Yeah.
And how we forget it until God brings it back. I mean, I same thing, I have things that God told me, and it took 3 years later to bring it up again, another 4 years after that to bring it up again, and I'm just not getting it, but he's got to bring it up a different way. I mean, it's just so like God, it seems like. It seems to be his pattern, you know, that we tend to push it away and want to forget it, and he has to come back and say, let me say it to you another way because this is really important.
Yeah, and I think part of it can be because we're just not getting it. And,
right.
But part of it, I think, is just a process. I think God speaks into your life something that he intends for you, but you have to become it. So it makes sense that 2 or 3 years later you can now hear it again. So he says it in a different way because you're now a little more that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and you just brought up a profound point, and that is that God will give us a word. He will describe us in some way and speak to us. But more often than not, we're not that yet. Just because he spoke it doesn't mean we're that right now.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of times he's speaking what is in our heart to become and what we are becoming. I mean, that's just a great point. That's why he comes back, he says it again.
Yeah. You know, the first time God ever spoke to me about beauty in regards to himself, personally, I was coming home from work just having a day, heading west, and not on a very pretty freeway, actually, back in Ohio, and it was one of those things where the clouds did something with the sun, and it caught my attention, and I was like, wow, that is just, that's beautiful. But then this consciousness comes, it's almost like somebody comes into the car with you, and I hear this, is that beautiful? And I said, oh, yeah, God, that is really beautiful. And then it was amazing. The timing was perfect because the highway started to dip and the sun was low enough that when you went into the dip, you lost it. And this is all within moments.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden I hear this, but hang on a moment, watch this. And I started laughing, going, no way. When I heard that, I come up over this ridge and it just shifted again. I'm almost in tears at this point because it's so playful.
Yeah.
It's so spontaneous. And there's also this part of me that goes, dude, if you're making this up, you've got to be kind of, you know, you're a ventriloquist, you're a schizo, you're something, but, you know. But I'm like, no, I couldn't be making this up. I'm just having a day driving from work. But then I said, wow, that is beautiful, God. And then I heard, but David, do you think I'm beautiful?
Hmm.
I've never heard that before. I didn't think I would say that.
Right.
And I just said, oh, you are. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, you've got to be beautiful. Mm-hmm. You've got to be amazing. So, I don't know, it's a level of intimacy. Fast forward a number of years later, I was out here alone. My family was still back in Ohio. We had moved. And again, a normal day, I'm dead tired. It's late at night. It's cold. I think it was late fall. And I go to lay in this bed, and I was staying in a townhome for a while, and they have the really expensive wooden blind, you know, the really nice wooden mm-hmm. blinds, and they block everything out. And I lay down, and I'm like, what is in my eye? And literally, the light outside was so incredibly bright that it had come through one of the tiny holes where the string goes through, and it literally was keeping me awake. I'm like, what is? And I walk over, and I flip the blind, and there is this amazing full moon. Now I'm from the Midwest. There's too much humidity. You don't see that. And I was blown away. And here was this voice again. This is years later. And it was, is that beautiful, David? And I'm like, yeah. And I got this sense. It's like, this one's for you, son. Hmm. And I said, thank you, God. And I'm really tired. I crawl in the bed, and I hear him go, get up, get dressed. I want you to go out in it. And I actually said no. I said, God, I said, I am completely undressed. I'm already, it's really late. I got to get up in the morning. And I almost heard this, please, we could just be together. And I laughed out loud, you know, because there was no one around to hear me. I'm like, okay, God, if this is you, I'll do that for you. And I layered up, and I went out into the prairie at midnight, and I just got to enjoy God again.
You know, what I love about your two stories you just now gave about driving and coming up through the dip, and this was this beautiful sunset, and God says, do you think I'm beautiful like this? And then this one, come out with me, look at this, isn't this amazing? I think sometimes people think that the only time that God is going to speak is when he has either a rebuke mm-hmm. or instruction. And we do want instruction from God, right? If he's going to speak to us and instruct us in the way that we should go, and he's going to do these things, we want that. But he doesn't always do that. Many times it's just about me and him, you and him. It's just our relationship with him.
Mm-hmm. Another, this is a cool story. I was a visitor in someone's home and for some work. It was late at night, and I thought, like, I asked God, God, you know, would you, I was almost like, God, would you want some time before I go to bed kind of thing? And it was like, yeah. And it was one of those flip and skip methods. I was like, okay. You know, just chilling out, literally to lay back in bed. I open the Word, and it's where David recounts the men he got to do battle with. He basically says something about, you know, his life has been full and rich. I mean, it's about the bounty of his own life. But immediately, and that's what caught my mind, immediately he shifts from his own life, and it's almost like, now let me tell you about the kind of men I got to hang out with and the kind of men I got to do battle with. And then he recounts, if you know that passage, these amazing feats done by amazing men and David's mighty men.
Mm-hmm.
And I just went back to bed with that. It was almost, David, you will have mighty men in your life. You will have that. And they will be the kind of men that you will be glad to brag about because they will be good men in their own right. And so it reaffirmed something that God started years ago. And I'm like, really? God, I would love that. Had no idea where it would come or how or what. But it was powerful stuff. Gary, you know, and a lot of your work goes this way with men, is just this profound fatherlessness that we have, regardless of our story. And mine is still there, but God has really come for about 10 years to keep addressing this. And I feel like I want to give a couple of stories that went to that masculine part of my heart. And again, unscripted, surprise kind of things. Mm-hmm. I'd come up to Woodland Park to visit friends that you know. And we'd spent the weekend together at this little conference. And right before I left, Mark said, oh, dude, have you heard the new release of whatever this group was? I said, no. He goes, oh, dude, I'm just going to burn it. He goes, you know, here's the website you can order it. He goes, but let me burn a few of the tracks so you can listen to it on your way back to Fort Collins. I said, cool. So he gives me this CD. I come down the mountain, and I'm about ready to put the CD in. In fact, I'm physically pushing the CD in, like, oh, I want to hear that music that Mark gave me. And right before I put it in the CD, again, kind of out of nowhere, I hear this, hang on just a moment, don't do that. And I'm like, all right, guys, that's you, what's up? And the funny part is the first thought was, God, I really want to listen to this. What? You know, is there something? Yeah, I was in a good mood. I wasn't lonely or in pain, you know. I was actually heading to Denver to a little Irish pub to meet a couple other guys on the way home. And the part that was so gracious about it is I heard, well, it'll just take a moment. Then you can listen to the CD. Like, okay. And I kind of chuckled. And he said, I just wanted you to know that I have watched how hard you fought for Becky and the kids the last 6 months. And I'm proud of you. And, of course, boom, I'm, you know.
Right, in tears.
Yeah. I wasn't even feeling it that day. I was living under the weight of that. And it literally felt like my cell phone rang and my own dad called me for a moment and said, hey, son, I know you're driving, don't want to keep you but a minute, but you know, I've just been thinking about you and your mom and I, you know, just saying how proud of you we are. Mm-hmm. That doesn't happen in my life. You know, I've never had a phone call from my own dad ever in my life, mm-hmm. you know, and I enjoy my dad, and he now has Alzheimer's, so, but that's what it felt like. It was that intimate. My dad just wanted to break through for a moment and say, I'm proud of you. I remember a little bit about Mark and all the fun, you know, with his family. I remember nothing of the conference I went to, and I had nothing against the conference, but I will never forget that, because when Father comes and speaks in that way, it is so right on, it's so timely, and it was something inside of my heart kind of woke up, kind of rose up and said, wow, I'm doing something that God's proud of. I don't know. It was a masculine thing, you know?
Yeah.
I feel how hard you're working, son. That's good. I'm proud, you know? I've been hauling tires in this little entrepreneurial scheme last summer. I'd come home one time, and it was a hard day. It was like 98. I'm home, sweaty. I'm stinking like a dog. I got like 25 tires in my vehicle. And out of nowhere, I hear, Dave, you done good today. I mean, I actually heard, you done good. Almost in a joking way.
Uh-huh.
And I just laughed. And it was just God going, man, you just knocked it out today. It was like an 11-hour day. These are just illustrations of how God, has, in his masculine heart, has come to just say, son, I do see what you do. I do see what you need. Sometimes it's just, I know what you're going through, and I'm here with you. And sometimes it is, I just watched what you did, and I'm really proud of you.
Mm-hmm. Here's what I'm struck by with what you're saying, that most of us, I think, growing up in this era that we've grown up in, have adopted this utilitarian model of, you know, there's just things to be done for the kingdom. Mm-hmm. God wants you to get it done.
Are you being profitable for the kingdom?
You're being profitable for the kingdom.
Yes.
And what we hear most often, which I think is a horrible expression, is, I just want to be used by God.
Mm-hmm.
Because I just tell people, okay, attach that to somebody else. I want my pastor to use me. Okay, that sounds wicked.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want my friends to use me. That's terrible. I want my boss to use me. Are you kidding me? That's the kind of place you work at? But we'll say that with God. I just want God to use me. And he doesn't want to use us. It's not about being utilitarian, profitable. Then the other model is the stewardship model. We hear this more. You know, we have to be good stewards. Mm-hmm. It's kind of whoever has been given much, much will be required kind of thing. And you've been given talents, you better use them. What we're afraid of is there's a big job evaluation coming. And when it comes, truth is going to be known. We're going to pay the consequences.
Well, yeah, and there's where you're going. Even worse than that, Gary, you know the passage where it says, and the Son of Man will come like a thief in the night?
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever get the teaching? God will come back at any moment you don't know. And you get the sense, when he shows up, he better find you busy, man.
Right.
Right?
And he's going to look for that moment when you're not.
Yeah, that's when the second coming. You're slacking. Yeah,
it's so true. So therefore, what I love about these stories, what you're reminding me of, is that God will speak to us as a father, you know, not as a taskmaster, not as a boss. Now, I think there are times, I mean, we see it in Scripture where sometimes he just has to give a pretty direct word, and right now it's usually about saving our own life, actually, in the moment. But I think most of the time he's going to speak to our greatest need, like, I saw what you did, and you've done it well. You fought hard. That was a well-worked day today, David or Gary, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's how he speaks more than anything, because we are his intimate ally. We are his son, his friend. And again, if we don't have that understanding, when he speaks like that to us, we will not hear it. Or we'll write it off as something else.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of what God speaks is the way that you've just described, because he's our Father. And then there are times when he'll say, you know, maybe something like, well done, did you enjoy that? And we might say, not so much. And he'll say, right, I've got something else for you coming, but you persevered.
Yeah.
Or yeah. Things like that. Or,
yeah.
Yes, of course you enjoy it. I've made you to do that. So it's just that whole intimate ally, comradeship, friend, father is such an important thing.
Here's the time where I wanted to hear something, and I didn't. And I felt like, I just felt the energy. I had been through this process or this journey, and I was waiting for God to give me this release. Release from a place that I was working, but he was teaching me things there I didn't realize. But I didn't know it, and there was no judgment in this. So I'm like, Father, this has been great. You know, I've been away for a couple of days, and really pressing in, so I'm waiting. I just feel like God's going to give me this great marching order.
Yeah, and that a boy.
Yeah, and this is what I get him. Well, Father, kind of, you know, I'm waiting. And I hear this, keep doing what you're doing. You're getting stronger. I was like, oh, okay. You know, oh. And I don't know if I quite even have the words, but it was basically, here's your marching orders. Okay, I want you to go back and keep doing what you're doing. But it's okay, because you're getting stronger, son.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was okay with that, because what that said was, this is right where you need to be for now, David.
Yeah.
It was one of those things where I think I matured enough in my relationship with God that I'm like, okay, if I get that from God, that's good. I'm good with that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I went back, and I was good with it, you know, for a little while, I guess.
Yeah.
But that's, you know,
it just reminds me of God speaking to you now as his older son, right? A younger son maybe needs to be, oh, you did great, I'm so proud of you. And we always need that, but later it's like, really good. You're getting stronger, keep doing it, you know? And it feels like at a different level. I remember one time I spoke at this retreat, and I loved doing it. It felt different to me. I felt like I was speaking more from my heart than from my notes. It felt like there was actual more weightiness to my words than I'd experienced before. I loved it. And I had gotten some really amazing comments back to me. You know, more than just, oh, I so enjoy, thank you, but it was profound comments, a few given to me. And I remember before leaving, I kind of got alone with God, and I said, God, thank you. That was just an amazing time. And I sense that God said, right, things are shifting. This is more of you. This, you're bringing more strength than you ever had before. And I remember going to the place of, so what did I do that made it different? I mean, right away, I went to the, how did I do that? Because I want to keep doing that. I just sensed God say to me, Gary, it wasn't what you did, it's who you are. Who you are has shifted.
Mm.
You've grown up a little more, you're a little stronger, you're actually maturing. That's what it is. And I so wanted to get it to, what was the technique that I just used that worked so well? Because I got to keep doing it. And I felt like God said, Gary, don't go there. That's where you always go. It's just you. It's just you're growing up. You're getting more mature. You're caring more now. It felt affirming. I did feel like an older son now, like, wow, I guess I'm not the little kid anymore. And God's trying to tell me that and saying there's more for you. So.
And as I hear your story too, Gary, if I could say it this way, what you wanted is not nearly as kind and gracious and helpful to you as what God wanted. You're like, Gary found the great technique he can use. Well, that leaves you out of it. That's just you finding something that worked.
Yeah.
And God's going, no, far better than that. Forget technique. Well, what? It's you, Gary. Yeah. Really? Yes. You know, I kind of like to say it this way, if it's true. I mean, I don't say this to many people, but I've said to some men, you're different now. You're more who you are than I've ever seen. I have more of the real you than I've ever experienced before.
Mm-hmm.
And I do that deliberately because, again, some of the teaching that I grew up with is the more godly you become, the less you are you.
Right.
And I go, no, when a man is walking with God and that substance is growing, I go, Gary, you're different. Yeah? Oh, I don't mean different from Gary. You're more Gary.
Right. It's like Soren Kierkegaard said, with God's help, I shall become myself.
Yeah.
It's becoming who we really are. Like you said, this, when
beautiful.
God's spirit infuses with ours, we become who we were meant to be.
Yeah.
Right. That's such a good point.
Well, that is huge.
Yeah.
Well, I want to go a little bit toward the idea of, you know, finding the glory of your life,
mm-hmm.
because, I mean, that's just something that you've, gosh, spent decades, you know, really researching and living in and all of that. The exercise that you had, the picture exercise, and, you know, God came for me that way, because if you remember, what came out of that exercise and some of the story was just this drawing to restore things or people who have been discarded or overlooked,
mm-hmm.
or left behind. And I just have this innate, I mean, even when I was little, I mean like elementary school age, my brother and I, we just were kind and became the friends of these two mentally disabled people that I think were married, I don't know. They used to ride around on these three-wheeled bicycles. And
mm-hmm.
most of the town would avoid these two. And my brother and I were always drawn, you know, to people. I've sat in culverts, you know, drainage pipes with homeless men. I mean, I've just always been drawn for some reason to someone who's been discarded. And what came out in that exercise, you know, restoring the old boats, there was all of that
sense. Just describe a few of the pictures so that the listeners can go, oh, I can see it in my mind now.
There were images like restored old Jeep Grand Wagoneer, I think,
mm-hmm.
and an old restored boat.
I remember those.
And it was just this sense of going in, that was the other part, kind of entering into a deeper place and restoring what's been made to be old or discarded,
mm-hmm.
or
mm-hmm.
broken. And I bring that because then probably a year or two later, again, one of these moments where you say, Father, what? And I heard him say, would you like to be a trail guide? And immediately, you know, the heart is faster many times than the mind.
Mm-hmm.
The feeling was, oh, yeah, that would be, you know, it's cool. And then my mind caught up half a second later and went, dude, you can't get out of a shopping mall. You know, you can't. It's literally, you're like, what door did I come in? Was it Dillard's? Or, you know, and I can't remember where my car is. And so I sort of sabotaged it. Like, trail guide, I mean, we'd all die. And as I'm kind of going through that little mental joke, it's almost like he wasn't done speaking, because he goes, into the interior.
Hmm.
And I went, whoa, yes. He says, yeah, David, would you enjoy being a trail guide? You can lead a person into an interior journey. You help them connect dots, places in their lives, because that's how I've made you. You love that. You can't help but do that. You're drawn into the inner places. You find what's been neglected or overlooked or discarded, and you help them reconnect again. So so that was cool right there.
Mm-hmm.
Later that night, I'm visiting a friend up in the Denver area. We're going to have dinner with his wife, and he's, you know, he's kind of oblivious to what I do, but an old friend. He's like, so you read this weekend thing, huh? Yeah, well, how'd it go? I said, you know, the coolest thing is God seemed to affirm some things about how I like to go in and make some connections or something like that. And he's just driving around, and he turns to me and looks at me for just half a second. He goes, I don't know, sounds like you're like a trail guide, except like, you know, I don't know, like but a trail guide inside of people. And I just stopped. I mean, how did he know to use that term?
That's so amazing.
And it was within hours.
You know that was God putting these thoughts in his head that he speaks out, that he thinks are his own thoughts, but
yes.
That's amazing.
And from a man who I wouldn't say hangs out with, you know, this whole kind of, you know, crowd that does, you know, he's no part of that. He doesn't even, I don't think he's read much of anything I've read. So it was even more believable,
yeah.
You know, because it wasn't you that said it. And so that was just this illustration of God. And here we go. He's hailing back to like 19... or, you know, year 2001 or something. See, David, you know, before you even realized it, you know, you will work with men. You will walk in the company of men. And by the way, not only will you be invited in, you'll be needed there, son. And that flies in the face of everything
mm-hmm.
I ever believed until literally I was in my late 30s,
mm-hmm.
you know.
So Dave, you're doing a number of things in your life. You are building something right now, a ministry, a certain way to work with men. Describe that for a minute.
Yeah, well, a number of years ago, I met with a man in Michigan, and it was an experience that really allowed me to experience God. And so I've been trying to do that with men for a number of years now. It's a form of life coaching. When I work with a man, most men I know, if they're honest, say, I've never heard from God. I don't get that, okay? By the way, I kind of, you know, suck at reading the Bible. If they're honest, I mean, you know, that's hard for them. They don't really hear from God, and they just kind of live with that. So, again, it's sort of them, you know, get busy for God, I guess. I can do that, right? I can do that because that doesn't really require him having to talk to me. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll have someone else tell me what I need to do maybe every week, but, you know, I'll keep getting taught, and, you know, I'll get busy for God. And we call it the do more, sin less syndrome. But when they're honest, they haven't heard from God. So one way I'll say, well, God does speak. And one way we can kind of experience that together is I'd like you to go through some of the voicemail he's been leaving you through your life.
That's a great expression, metaphor, voicemail.
Yeah, okay. That you haven't picked up yet.
Yeah.
But it's still there because it's in your heart. It's in your memories. It's in your story. And I think that's why you and I started to connect, in the sense that you realize that the coordinates that you need, that you talk about having to be into focus, right, is story and your desires and walking with God. Well, most men, by the time they're in their mid-age, have kind of rolled over and are kind of dead. They don't know what they want anymore. It just feels sort of deadness. Mm-hmm. So desire has not served them well, or it's been sort of shamed out of them. Two, most men never go into their stories. I think that's pretty universal. They're not known well. And then guess what? Third, they don't know how to walk with God.
Mm-hmm.
It's a setup. So what I try to do in those 3 or 4 days is say, well, let's just see how God has spoken in your life in the past by looking at, you know, well, maybe 15 or 20 what we call turning points, just something that was significant enough that it either turned you toward life, something opened up, or it was really painful maybe, or it shut you down. And some of them do their homework, some aren't so good at doing their homework, but we start there. Mm-hmm. And we have a 30-hour one-to-one conversation. Not obviously in one sitting,
right,
but over the course of about 3 days or so, we have about 30 one-on-one hours. And what it allows us to do is over, they don't really see what's coming because we go page by page. But at the end, there's a mosaic, if you will. And we're able to kind of helicopter up and say, okay, do you see any themes here?
And so these are literally where you've been writing on large sheets of paper stuck on a wall.
Yeah.
Bits of the story and all these things. That's the mosaic panoramic view of everything all of a sudden.
Yes. Right? And you know the framework of the idea of messages that bring woundedness and all of that, we start to see those. Mm-hmm. So what does it say when this happened when you were 12 and then this person here and then that? And they go, wow, now I get why I'm this way or always get stuck this way. And the other cool thing is they'll go, oh, my golly, God was getting at me through my grandfather on my mother's side. I never realized why that was so life-giving for me all those years.
Mm-hmm.
And so we see the messages, and they go, God has been in my life. And that's cool. And then we even have some times during the weekend where we say, well, let's see if you'll speak now. Now within the context of looking at your life.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So, Dave, what do you call this? I mean, this process, when you take a person through it, what do you refer to it as?
Yeah. I call it a life quest.
Okay, life quest. Okay.
Yep. It's a form of life coaching.
Yeah.
And it's really great. Gary, I can honestly say this. I have never done a boring life quest. Every man's story could be made into a film.
Yeah. And the word alone, life and quest.
Yeah.
You can see how epic, how adventurous it is.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, what I'm so amazed by is, right, the very first story and picture you gave us of this man praying over you and your wife, and he sees you in this room, papers spread all over the place, working with a man. And there's the picture, right? Just as you described it, right? Paper all over the wall, different scenes of this man's life. Let's just bring it all out and let's interpret. Let's connect all these dots now.
Yeah.
And there it is. And that's what, how many years later?
A decade.
A decade later, with a vision you were originally kind of pushing away because you couldn't, your heart couldn't believe it at that moment,
yeah,
out of fear and a shame. And this is what you most love to do, and this is what you are doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what comes to mind, and maybe I'll kind of end it with this, Gary. Couldn't tell you who said it. Was a couple of consultants years ago. And it wasn't a real sexy saying, but it stuck with me. It was, why? Because of who you're becoming in the process. And that little phrase stuck in my brain, and it has come to me in so many different facets. And I think that's, a lot of times we go, God, why? Right? Humans can live with just about anything if they have the why. I mean, we can endure pain, we can endure isolation, loneliness. What a human being cannot live under is purposelessness,
yeah,
answerlessness, no why.
Right.
And this little phrase is, sometimes the immediate why isn't there, but it's because of who God is having you become in the process.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like David, why is like chapter 37. It's okay. We're heading to 37, buddy. But right now, it's just chapter 12. It's okay. You're still the character that's becoming. And so are those you love around you.
Mm-hmm.
We're in a story that's moving. You can't skip to chapter 37.
Yeah.
In fact, you wouldn't even get it if I let you peek at it, because you haven't become and experienced what you need to even get 37.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if I saw heaven right now, I couldn't even get it. I mean, I would just be, okay, it was, I don't know, cool. But, you know, you're right. We're becoming what that full life that God has for us,
mm-hmm,
will require, and what we'll want.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Why? Well, it's because we're becoming someone, Gary.
Yeah. And see, you just gave us such a great story of becoming. I mean, all these years, different ways God has spoken to you, surprisingly in a car, in scripture, and all of this, and bringing to this point, this was over, you described, it sounds like a decade of time. You could have described a whole lot more than that of your life. But you see the becoming, that,
yeah,
the why has grown, and therefore the for what is there is becoming clear as well, you know, what this you looks like. So if somebody hears this and is really interested, saying, I need this kind of one-on-one time, this coaching, this insight, how do they find out more about what you're doing and how it's done and what's required?
For what I do, a friend of mine put together a little website, because I don't know how to, but he found out that davidgeyer.com is out there. It's, you know, it was a site that's available, so it's pretty easy. That's the website address, is davidgeyer.com. And there's
spell that out for somebody just in case.
Well, it's David, D-A-V-I-D, Geyer, G-U-Y, Guy, O-R,
okay,
or. So davidgeyer.com.
And for those who've heard this conversation that are probably fascinated by it but going, gosh, you got to prove to me scripturally that God speaks outside of the scripture. I'd really recommend the book by Dallas Willard called In Search of Guidance. In fact, I think it may be under a new name, a republished name, but Dallas Willard, In Search of Guidance, and he does such a great job of biblically, theologically showing that God does speak.
Yeah.
And all the things you've said, he's personal, he's unique, he speaks, it's not in contrast to the word. It's not exclusively scripture, but it's always backed up by scripture. It's all of those things. If we miss this part of God speaking to us as a father to his son or to his daughter, we'll miss it all.
And it brings life and hope.
Yeah.
I mean, that's another way to go, I think God's behind this, because this really brought me some hope, some life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Dave, thank you. This was a lot of fun to do.
Well, thank you for listening a long time.
All right.
Thank you.